Hey, welcome to Write It Up, a podcast about the ins, outs, and in-betweens of self-publishing. I am P.E. Craven, or you can call me Paige, and I'm the author of the Realm Leaper series. Today's episode is the self-publishing process, so we'll be going over the whole thing, how start to finish the process of self-publishing. Welcome to the show. So really quick, a few little life updates. I will be at a few events coming up. The next one that I will be at is the author convention at the Chattanooga Public Library. So if you are local, come check us out. There'll be a bunch of local authors at the event. I believe they're putting out some details about it this week or next week. So if you follow them on Facebook or Instagram, you should be seeing some of that information pretty soon. And then also I will be at RomanticyCon in Orlando in October. So it's October 3rd through 5th. So if you have your tickets for that, you can go check out Viventi. That's where my pre-orders are located. And this event is where we are launching our special editions of Realm Leaper and Windwalker. And I'm so excited for them. I am beyond excited for them because this has always been a dream of mine, is to have special editions. And they are super pretty and I can't wait. I like get goosebumps thinking about the like debut of these special editions. So you'll want to go follow for that information and go ahead and get in your pre-orders very soon. Also, if you like to do beta reading or episodic reading where you read like a chapter at a time, I have a work in progress on Kindle Vella. It's called Oak, like the tree. I have 12 chapters up there now, but I'm treating it kind of like a beta read. So I would love feedback. If you want to pop on there, read, drop a comment, what is working, what is not working. I also have a few polls on there just kind of for fun. So you can go just Google Kindle Vella and it'll take you to the platform. The first 10 episodes of every story are always free. So you can go check that out. Okay, let's get in today's episode. So this is about the self-publishing process. Before I started self-publishing, I kind of thought you just had your story, you would get it edited, but then you would just like upload it and then sell the book and then that was that. And I was very wrong. So there is a lot more that goes into it than what I knew at the beginning. And a lot of it I had to teach myself. Some of it I got coached through, and some of it I found through testimonials and explanations of other self-published authors. So I do think it's really nice to have all of the information in one space, especially if you are really at the beginning stages of this. I think this is going to be a great episode for you. If you are like on the cusp of not sure if you want to publish, if you're just writing for fun, if you are really, really clueless about it all, then this is going to be a really good episode for you. Some of us, it is really going to be more of a reminder and a way to circle back and like make sure that we've done all of this. Now, a few things about the self-publishing process. I will say there are a lot of resources. Most of them are paid resources. There's not a ton of free blueprints or guides. Most of them are PDFs that you have to purchase, which, you know, like everybody's got to, you know, buy their groceries, right? But I don't think you always have to follow the guides or the blueprints to a T. This is not necessarily the process, like the only process to follow. I will say I didn't follow this at all for my second book. Now, My second book had a very, very small release. It was not nearly as successful as my first book, and is still not as successful as my first book. And a lot of that is because I skipped a lot of steps. There was a reason for that. My life at that point in time, I came to the conclusion that I just didn't have the resources. Most of it was time to follow all of these steps. So I really had to go through the list and decide what was most important and what I actually cared about. I also, like, I'm not even kidding, the deadline that, or the published date that we had set was very special to me, and I did not want to move the publishing date. And book number two was really a challenge for me to write. And so we got right up. Like, I mean, I was within about 3 weeks of the publishing date when we had the first full finished copy, because we did editing as we went, which is, I might talk about that process on another episode. But yeah, it was definitely not as well marketed as my first book was. And so you can really see the difference when you follow a process versus when you have to give up some of it as far as sales and marketing goes. But I'm glad we did it anyways, because honestly, the second book, in my opinion, is a better written book. And we went ahead with the published date, partly because I just needed to get it out. I needed to get the story out and on paper. That was a personal need for me. And I'm glad we did it. But I do think it's an excellent case study of when you follow a process versus not follow a process. So again, some of this is going to be not relevant to you or not attainable right now for you. And that's okay if some of it is something that you're going to have to just not do. It is okay to not be able to do all of it. So give yourself that permission first, okay? All right, so let's get into it. This is just an excellent process that you can follow, a good game plan to get in your mind, to start thinking, start, you know, doing a little research on, and then just contemplate it a little bit as you start the self-publish process. So obviously, the first thing you're going to do is write the story. I bet nobody expected that to be step number one. But while you're doing this, here's some tips. Get yourself what I call a character map. My editor gave me a really good, kind of like a worksheet to use on breaking down each character. It had like what the character wanted, what they needed, what their values were, where they start and where they're going to end in the story. So you have some sort of perspective of how they're going to change. You're already starting to get some character arc in it. So get yourself some of those character maps. Have yourself a plot map of some sort so that you can gauge what kind of story you're telling. Build some Pinterest boards. I usually do Pinterest boards to help me with like clothing details, architecture details. It helps me get a better picture so that I can write vivid descriptions. Build yourself some music playlists that help you stay inspired and focused on your story. And then keep all of this available because you can use it for as like promotional material. There's a lot of authors who are really good about having their like Spotify music playlists to go along with their story or with their novel, and they can actually like publish it in the book alongside it so that the readers can listen and have a multi-sensory experience with it. There's some authors that really use their Pinterest boards really well so that other readers can look at the Pinterest board and see, what they were envisioning, what kind of colors are they really using, what's the texture of the world that they're describing. I personally don't use these things for promos. That's just not my style of promotional work, partly because most of my stuff is kind of boring. not the storytelling, but like my Pinterest board is like buildings and dresses. It's like not that exciting. And then my music playlist is mainly like very cinematic instrumental work. I was a choreographer before, and so especially like battle scenes, I need some like music because it helps me think of movement. And so when I have that inspiration, it just helps me like really get good description of like what kind of movement is going on. So I don't use it for promotional stuff because it's just not that exciting. My stuff isn't, but I know there's a lot of authors who have really utilized and maximized the potential for using Pinterest and using their music playlists in their promotional work. There's other authors that are really good about using their character maps and plot maps as well. Another good tip is you can go ahead and draw out the map of the world you're building if you are writing fantasy or sci-fi, or even if you're writing like historical fiction, have a map pulled up so that you can visually reference what you're writing. And again, that's helpful for promotional work as well. So if you have all of this stuff collected ahead of time, it's gonna make some of the work down the road a little easier for you. Okay, the next thing that you're gonna do after you have written your story and after you have done your character maps and your plot maps and you've got your music playlist and your Pinterest boards and you've got all of this material gathered together, you've written the story, next, you are going to do your first big edit. So you are going to send your work to an editor, but first you're going to do a big read through and you're going to do a little bit of editing. Part of that is going to be reading some of your work and going, oh wow, I wrote that. That's awesome. And then part of it on the flip side is going to be like, I wrote that. I have no idea what it. There was one chapter in my first book that when I went back and reread it, I had to really ask myself what was happening when I wrote it, because I think I might have been drunk. And like, I kid you not, I was reading, I don't know, probably 3 pages of the work and was like, I have no idea what I was trying to do here. So that first edit is gonna save you and your editor a ton of time. So that is kind of where you go in and you just clean up. All right, you're just cleaning up the work so that it is at a point where you can at least have new eyes on it. Okay, so that's step 2, is your first big edit. Step 3, this is not a step you have to do. Some writers really cherish and value this step. Some skip completely over it. I've done a mixture of both. But this would be a great time to bring on an alpha reader. So this is before your editor even sees it. But alpha readers are going to help you, again, clean out the trash in your work. When you are choosing an alpha reader, I have found it to be helpful to give them a focus. So either they're focusing on character, focusing on plot. They're not looking for typos. They're not looking for grammar. They're not looking for plot. Well, they could look for plot holes if their focus is plot. They maybe look for readability, but that is really going to happen later in my experience. Your alpha reader is really just going to give you an idea of like, can I follow the story? Can I get invested in the character? So it's very low stakes reading. The feedback should be very general. I like this character. I don't like this character. I like this plot. I don't like this plot. And you know, some of that is subjective. So, you know, you take it with a grain of salt. But it's going to help you focus in with your editor as well. So when you finally do sit down with your editor, if you have feedback from alpha readers, it's going to help you both choose an avenue to really focus on as you edit it. So after you have written the story, after you've sent it out to your alpha readers, if you choose to do that, then you're going to do your second big edit alongside your editor. So this is when the big editing happens with your editor. And there's a few ways you can do this. So I work with a developmental editor. And I prefer to do that because I write epic fantasy. It is romantic fantasy, but it is epic. So there's a lot of world building. The plots are fairly elaborate. Most of my work is multi-point of view. One of my works has multiple worlds. So there's a lot of details to keep track of. And a developmental editor is really going to make sure that the whole story is staying on the train tracks and that you're not getting derailed somewhere. They also are going to help you figure out if, like, there's a lull in the story that needs to be picked up. Some lull is good, right? And then we want to kind of go up and down. Your developmental editor is going to make sure that your audience is able to keep pace with the story. This is, I think, every first time publishing author should have a developmental editor. I personally would not encourage an exception. A developmental editor is going to be more expensive than, say, a line editor that is just going to go line by line and make sure that the grammar is correct, the punctuation is correct, the spelling is correct. That's a line editor. If you were to forego something, I would forego that. Because the developmental editor is going to make sure that the story has some sort of value. So that's your second big edit along with your editor. That's probably going to take the most amount of time, is going through that developmental edit process. Now, after you've done the developmental edit, you could do a line edit with a line editor. I think most editors have a specialty. So they're either doing one or the other. As you are editing, the next step, so this is happening simultaneously, is to find a cover artist. You can find a local artist. You can find a graphic artist. You can find a graphic designer. If you are already an artist, you could do the art yourself. I said this in the last episode, and I'm going to say it again. Do not use AI art. So here's one big reason why you don't want to use AI art. Well, there's two big reasons, actually. So one is KDP, which is Kindle Direct Publishing, is going to require you to display on your listing that you have used AI to create your product. That is immediately, this is reason number two, that is immediately going to push out part of your potential audience. There is a large part of the reading audience, part of your marketable audience, that is anti-AI. And if you use AI art on your cover, you are going to push them out. You are going to make your work unreadable for them because they just have a very hard line in the sand that they don't partake in any products that use AI. Any artistic products or creative products that use AI. So keep that in mind. The other reason, another reason, is it is very likely that KDP is going to eventually ban the use of AI artwork and AI products. I would say the possibility of that happening is about 50-50 at this point, but it is looking I mean, it really truly does look as though it could be either way. They might continue allowing it or they may completely ban it. So if you are considering it, you are potentially losing a platform where you can self-publish by using AI art. So hire yourself a graphic designer, an artist. I actually used a local artist for my books. I'm going to grab one real quick. So a local artist from Chattanooga created this, and we used the artwork for the books. And so she's designing all of the original covers for this. For my special editions, I hired another cover artist. She only does cover work or cover art, and she did my special editions. There's a huge range of pricing. So depending on your budget, you can find somebody within your budget. But remember, artists also have to buy groceries. So what they charge is what they charge. And then you're going to have to find something within your own budget. Now, as you're having the cover artist design your cover art, a suggestion from myself, depending on what platform you're using, it might be helpful to have the artist create the cover art in a couple of different ways. So they can make it as a wraparound. So it's one big picture that goes from the front to the spine to the back. If you're going to have a dust jacket, it's going to also have to have the flaps. You may also want to have a front, a separate design for the spine, and then a separate design for the back. And then what I ended up having to do for my first book, first and second, is I had to have all of those design elements plus the title and like any words. So like the blurb, the title, my name, the author name, the spine title, all of those had to be separate elements. And then I had to plug it in into the book building tool that I used. So I have my cover art in several different formats. For KDP, it's all one piece. So the title and the artwork is all together. For Ingram Spark, which I use to do my like printed works, it was all separate pieces and then I had to plug it in individually. With their software, it wouldn't fit. I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it, but it didn't fit. So I had to have the pieces done separately. So when you are having your cover art done, it might be helpful to have those separate pieces. The benefit to that is I can easily use like just the title artwork on promotional material. So like I could use it to make stickers or bookmarks, or I could, you know, print it on a bag and sell it at a convention. So having the different pieces could be really useful to you later, but it'll also make it a lot more manageable when you go to actually format the book. Okay, so you are editing, you're getting some cover art done. Around this time, you also want to start researching your print services and doing some research on like street teams and ARC teams, just becoming more familiar with that part of the business. For print, there is a lot of different services that you could use. There's Draft to Digital, there's Kindle Direct Publishing, Ingram Spark, Book Baby, 48 Hour Books is another one. There's a lot of different reasons to use each of those platforms. So I use KDP for my ebook because it's on Kindle Unlimited. When you use Kindle Unlimited, you have to exclusively provide your ebook through that platform and it can't be anywhere else. It can be in print, but the ebook has to only go through Kindle. I use Ingram Spark for print because they do global distribution. So my books can be sold at Barnes & Noble, at bookshop.org, target.com, walmart.com, any bookstore, indie bookstore. It can be bought by libraries. There's a huge variety that Ingram Spark works with for printing. Another neat thing about Ingram Spark is that Barnes & Noble has, they are able to directly print the material and sell it in most of their bookstores, so they can do same day deliver or well pick up. Ingram Spark is really good if you choose to do global distribution and you want your books in stores. Now, the drawback to that is it has to be discounted for wholesale, and it's got to be between 45 and 50% discount, which means you're going to have to price your book at a certain point so that you're still making some sort of income off of it. You can sell your books direct on a website, which is anytime you sell your books directly is the way you're going to make the most amount of money on it. Draft to Digital is pretty good. Book Baby is pretty good. Here's the thing though. Printing them is going to be, there's going to be a little bit more of an upcharge because they are actually using Ingram Spark to print the books. So there's a lot of nuances here that you'll need to figure out, like which process is going to be the best one for you. If you have the time to individually sell all your books and really market the direct sell, then whatever platform is cheapest and highest quality, like together, that's probably what you want to do. If you don't have a lot of time to invest in that, then another platform is probably going to be the best. Street teams, art teams. Your street team is going to be your on-the-ground marketing team. They're going to be the first ones to see your product. They're going to be the first ones out there hyping you up. They're like a marketing team. On the flip side, you have an ARC team, and they're the ones who are reading and criticizing it on like Amazon, Goodreads, even Target.com. They're putting their opinions on the book out there to the world early. This is important because Amazon prioritizes customer experience when they list products in a search engine or in their search engine, to even for your ads on Amazon. So let's say you pay for marketing through Amazon. It is not going to be successful unless you have at least 50 reviews. So your book, your goal, your target goal is 50 reviews or more. That's hard to do. Many authors are really struggling to get more than 35 reviews. Getting people to commit to submitting their reviews is basically a full-time job. So having a good art team, having a good street team is going to be important to the marketing process of your book. There are a lot of bookish PR groups that you can use to facilitate this. So I used a group called Bound by Mischief for book one. And they did a great job of finding ARC readers and getting them to put in their reviews. Another way you could get ARC readers is through NetGalley. I haven't used NetGalley yet, but that is probably the most common and most popular way of getting ARC readers. If you have another suggestion for ARC readers, if you're listening to this, then pop it in the comments because I would love to help more people figure out how to build their ARC teams. Okay, so after all of that, you're going to be doing your final read-through. So you and your editor have done your big edit. Like, this is the big one where, like, you know, the plot may change, the character may change, you know, like you fix the plot holes. Now you're going to do your final read-throughs. I mean, we're looking at 1 to 3 more read-throughs. And this is where you're really looking at, you know, spelling, punctuation, you know, final descriptions. This is like where you're really, really refining the work. One tip for this, don't do it too much. Okay, you have to have a stopping point. At some point, you're going to have to stop doing the read-throughs and the edits and actually push send on it. Give yourself a day when you're like, okay, I've done it all. This is it. This is the last one. This the last I'm touching it. It's kind of like cooking. You know, if you try to finesse the food too much, you're gonna mess it up. So at some point, you've gotta just walk away and let it be the finished product. All right. So after your final read-throughs, really at the same time, actually, while you're doing this, start finding your ISBNs. Now, your ISBN is kind of like your SKU number. It catalogs your book. It's its own personal, it's kind of like a social security number, actually. So it's going to be its own personal number. Now, most publishing services will offer you a free ISBN. And that sounds very tempting, but the thing is that company, that print service, is going to own the ISBN. So if you were to want to pull that, let's say I print through Ingram Spark right now, and if I wanted to pull that book and publish then through Draft to Digital, I would have to then get a separate, completely separate ISBN. But not only that, I would have to make at least a 10% change to the book to have it under a new ISBN. So that means I'm changing artwork, I'm changing part of the story, I'm either adding chapters. There's ways that you can do it, and there I've read several suggestions on how to do that. But in my opinion, it is better for you to own the ISBN because then you have the full freedom to make the best choice for your book later down the road. You can go to Bowker, it's Bowker, and buy your ISBN. You can buy a single one, but it's most affordable if you buy 10 at once. So if you are writing a series, then you want to buy the 10 at once because it really makes it much more affordable as you go. And then, like special editions, that's going to be a different ISBN. Ebooks, it's going to have its own ISBN. Paperback, hardback, they're going to have their own ISBNs. So you want a bundle when you buy them. As you're doing that, also, that's when you start working on formatting. I personally really enjoy, maybe not enjoy, that might be a little bit strong language, but I really like the Ingram Spark Book Builder. I don't create a PDF and then upload it. I just use the software that Ingram Spark has. For me, that saves a lot of time. It saves a lot of hassle. And it is the most effective way to get the book formatted in a way that's like very usable. Kindle Direct Publishing, they have their own software, and I'm going to tell you right now, it is really challenging to use. It is not the easiest software to use. It takes some finessing, and you're going to need maybe a few breaks in between because you're going to get frustrated using it. I don't know that I've met anybody that it was just like a super breeze to use. But the KDP platform is, it great for reaching a really broad audience. So it's kind of like, you got to use what you got to use. So as you're pre-ordering, then you can start your pre-sales. For Ingram Spark, your book has to be, I think it has to be fully submitted. But you can go back and make edits. It just is going to be like for every edit, it won't be available for purchase for like 2 days. So let's say you get the final manuscript complete, you build out the book, and you start your pre-orders. You've got 2 months of pre-orders, and you're doing another reread, and you realize that you changed the name or the spelling of a character or something halfway through, and you have to go through and fix it. You can still do that in the Ingram Spark Book Builder, and same with KDP, but there is a deadline where no other edits have to be or can be done within a certain time frame before publishing happens. So just keep that in mind. But the pre-orders can be very successful. They also do help boost your standing on publication day for Amazon.com. So if you sell 50 pre-orders, you know, that's going to boost your ratings on that day of publication. So it can be really helpful to a new publication to have those pre-orders already ready to go. So after you get your pre-orders done, then you're going to order your test copies. This is actually would happen simultaneously. So this is your first copy, hard copy, where you are looking through it and making sure, like, if you have artwork, that it's all lined up, the formatting is working. You're also going to start, you know, once you have looked through all of that, then you're going to send out your ARCs and your street team copies. You can also use BookFunnel for this. Typically, this is done about a month to 3 weeks prior to the release. I have seen it done even further away from the release, but a month to 3 weeks, and that also gives you time to make changes. If like something glaring comes up and there needs to be a change made, you have a little bit of time where you can, like, you know, it is crunch time, but you can go in and make those changes that you need. So once that happens, then you are ready for publishing once your publication date comes out. I mean, really the last few steps is just marketing, marketing, marketing. And a lot of ways that you can do that is really build out your social media. Somebody recommended having 6 months of a social media buildup before publication. I don't know that that's necessary, but it can be helpful. I know self-published authors who have larger social media pages or platforms tend to have better success. So that may be something you want to keep in, you know, the back of your mind as you're getting ready to publish. I find it really helpful to have a website and build out a newsletter that helps you connect with your current readers and then potential readers. It's also really helpful for doing direct sales. Some people choose to do it on Etsy, but like Wix.com has a really easy to build website and it's very easy to sell direct through them. Some authors also choose to do a book launch, like a big party to kind of build excitement around it. They'll also do PR boxes for their street team members with like lots of goodies. You can also look into doing a press kit. So that means that you are sending out an announcement to like local newspapers, radio stations, news stations, magazines, local magazines, or genre specific magazines. You can also do that. You can start looking into entering into book contests, which is also really great publicity. And to really help with all of that, you can hire a personal assistant that's specifically for authors. I know a lot of authors find that extremely helpful. Now, I've done the social media, the website, and the press kit. Those have been the ones that I've really focused on. I do have a street team and I've used like bookish ARC teams in the past and found them to be very helpful and easy to use. That's just where my energy has aligned. So when you're looking at all of this, a lot of it is going to be, what do I have time for? What do I have the energy for? And what aligns with my own values? So that is everything that I have for the self-publishing process. I hope that you found this to be really helpful. You may want to even give it a re-listen and take some notes. But a lot of this, again, is going to depend on what you are capable of right now. And you should not ever feel bad that you cannot do something right now. Remember, just like last episode, we said this is a marathon, not a sprint. Not everything is going to go perfect your first time or probably ever. And that's okay. It's okay to give yourself room to have growth and to make something bigger and better next time. This was a great chat. I'm really excited about this series. I can't wait to talk some more. So in the comments below, I want to know a little bit about, you know, what part of the process are you in? Are you in the editing role? Are you in the street team building role? What print services do you like? We talked about Ingram Spark and KDP. One that I'm looking at for my special editions is 48 Hour Books. So if you have experience in that, I would love to know how that has been going for you. So that's it for me today. I will see you guys again soon on Write It Up. Bye.